Rolling Out, The Publisher, by thought producer Munson Steed.
Hey, brother.
Yo.
How are you, Greg? I'm good, man. You know, just trying to stay safe. Okay. So tell me about the coronavirus and how is it impacting Black funeral directors across the country?
Well, I think some of us are seeing the early stages of it. I think obviously in New York, it's out of control. Washington State is out of control. You know, there are a few other states that are becoming. Louisiana is getting out of control. The death rate has picked up significantly. It's abnormal. It's out of control. I mean, you're talking 200 some deaths a day in the U.S., which is a lot for coronavirus. For it to be happening so fast, so rapidly. Here's the thing. We're just starting to get guidelines in from CDC as it relates to the transmission of this disease. You know, having gone through HIV and N1H1, we've been accustomed to using universal precautions. So what we found out is that a person literally has to be breathing to transmit the disease. So that helps us. So once a person passes away, then the disease cannot be transmitted from that person. Now if the embalmer is lax and some fluids start to circulate around, and you know, that could be problematic. But what we found out from CDC that after 3 days, the virus is dead. So it's we have not started to see a huge impact, but we are preparing for what's to come in terms of. So the good thing for us as funeral directors is that once that body is dead, it's hard for the virus to be transmitted. So that's the good thing. I mean, you got some funeral. I got a call this morning where a family had a death due to coronavirus, and the funeral director refused to go make the removal. And so it's becoming increasingly difficult for us, Munson, because, you know, we got these deaths, and, you know, there are some families who opt for direct cremation, and it's not a big deal. But there are some families who literally want to have a traditional service, and we can't do it as a result of these governmental guidelines. Churches are closed. Cemeteries are allowing 10 cars in the cemetery, and you cannot come up to the grave site. You got to stay. Some saying you got to stay in the car. Some are saying you can stand by the car, but nobody's allowing this, you know, people to congregate, you know, 15, 20 people at a time. So we are getting these guidelines in from cemeteries and churches and CDC at a rapid rate, you know, because it's sort of changing every day. And so it's hard. It's really hard for us because we have to follow the governmental guidelines, but we want to be accommodating the families, you know, because we know that they're grieving. So it puts us in a tough position. So, you know, I've been going in asking families, what is it that you ultimately like to have? And then we try to modify within the guidelines. So that's where we are. We're bracing because it's starting to get, you know, here in Philadelphia, we're starting to hear more cases. Last week, we didn't hear about a lot of cases, but now in the last few days, it's picking up. It's starting to pick up. So, you know, I've been getting calls from hospitals about bodies. And so, you know, my recommendation is they have refrigerated trucks, and then they continue to call the funeral homes as soon as possible so we can go ahead and get the bodies out of the hospital, so we'll free up some space for them. So, but it's just as you go, you know, you just make it up on the fly.
The three steps a person should take if a person passes at home from the virus?
Okay. From the virus. I mean, you know, again, they will, depending upon how they pass away, whether it's via hospice or they just suddenly pass away. If it's a hospice.
No, in the
case,
home.
In the home. Yeah. So you have to call 911. Then they will call the paramedics. The paramedics will call the doctor. Somebody has to sign off on the death certificate. So, you know, I think the procedures are still the same in terms of you call the paramedic, the paramedics call the medical examiner. Then what we are finding is that hospitals and people from homes are letting us know that people are passing away from the virus before we come out and pick them up. So I've instructed all of our removal people to make sure that they're garbed up and, you know, they have on protective gear before they go into these houses. So, but, you know, it's not, like I said, once that person passes away, then, you know, we want to be safe.
How about the family members that are in the homes?
That's what I was just getting ready to say. That's what I was getting ready to say. So you got that issue going on because you don't know how many family members have had contact with this person while they were living, and he may or she may have transmitted the virus to them. So it's tested. It's tough out here. It is really tough out here. So we just it's a tough virus right now. So we're just trying to feel it out. I think, again, the good thing for us is that the virus is gone once the person passes away. But again, we got to deal with people who've been in the house with that person. So I don't think we've had any calls where people have died at home. They've all been in the hospital.
Okay.
So I know I got
How do people manage grief? What are some of the keys to managing grief during this time, Greg?
Well, Munson, you know, what we're starting to see is that it's becoming difficult because, like I said earlier, we have some families who are like, okay, we just want to do a direct cremation, and that was going to be their mode of disposition from the beginning. But there are families right now who just feel like they cannot put closure to the death because they cannot have a funeral. That's problematic. It is problematic, and I think, you know, we've encouraged families to have memorial services at a later date. But I mean, man, it's tough because you got people you got to deal with the death, and then everybody's stressing as it relates to this disease, and it makes it increasingly difficult. That's why we try to be as accommodating as we possibly can in order to help people start the grieving process. But again, it's tough because we got to stay within certain guidelines. So we are just managing the best we can with what we have to work with. And because we're starting to see it more now. I mean, because it's picked up. Because I had a case this morning. Yesterday, a guy called. It was going to be a cremation. Called back this morning, said, nope, I want to view my mama. So, you know, then I'm like, okay, now, you know. So, I'm trying to be accommodating. So I said, okay, fine. We can let people come in five at a time, view the body, they're out, and we got to go to the crematory. I mean, that's the best we can do. And I'm trying right now to set up virtual funerals, you know, and so we're working on that. We should have a rollout on that about Monday. And so we can, you know, make that option available to families as well. But right now it's just hit and miss, man, because you know, some churches still allowing people, but it's just too risky at this point. The virus is spreading too fast.
Yeah, five at a time sounds a little taxing. Maybe two at a time with 6 feet distance and a quick viewing.
Oh yeah. Well, you know,
at one time doesn't sound like social distancing at all. Only 6 feet.
Yeah, but my point is that there are five people in the funeral home, and they're 6 feet apart. They're viewing one at a time. It's not like five people are congregating around the cat. No, we're not doing that. No, we're not. And we're having to wipe down everything. After people leave, when they come in, we spray before they come in. We spray after they leave. It's just, and again, it's all in an effort for us to try to be accommodating because we know that families are grieving. And that's becoming the most difficult part, is helping the family deal with this grief process. I mean, forget the virus, they're grieving. You know, so
what are some other tools that people can do post the funeral to understand and process their grieving? What are three tips that'll help?
One of the things that I am recommending are that that after this is all over, that we go back and sort of do a memorial service and that sort of thing. You know, short of that, you know, we're still looking into it just to see what we can do. What about
counseling, Greg? Do you recommend counseling to people?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Joining any counseling groups?
I recommend counseling like right away as opposed to waiting because, it can be traumatic. And depending upon how traumatic the death is, the worst it can be. You know, you got people at home, so they're stressing. So there's a lot of dynamics playing into this. And so we do recommend, I have recommended people to counseling if they're struggling so bad to deal with this and having to have a cremation without having the proper exposure to the death. So yeah, I've been in touch with a couple of counselors that I know that and told them that I may have some people calling them. But it's from a financial standpoint now, people aren't working. And so they don't, and we hadn't seen that kick in yet, but we know potentially it's coming, you know, so it's going to impact us financially as well. You know, yeah, we're going to have a death, but if the people not working, they can't afford to pay us for it. That's another problem. That's a problem for us, you know,
this could actually have a negative impact because you've got so many unemployed people. Is that what you're saying? Given that many people will be unemployed.
Absolutely. And I'm bracing for it because, I mean, it's definitely coming. I mean, there were 3 million jobless claims out this morning. So, you know, it's a problem. Yep. And I don't think we've seen the effects of that quite yet. I just don't. And it depends on how bad, you know, it gets before we can determine what kind of impact it's going to have on us financially.
For people that don't understand what that means for a funeral home and what it means for a family, when they don't have enough money and they have a body, what are their alternatives, Greg?
What was your question again? I'm sorry.
When the funeral director that he literally can't, who doesn't have the money, how does that impact the family? And what are their options as it relates to their body?
Well, it's devastating to a family because, I mean, not only do you have to deal with the impact of the death itself, but then you don't have the means financially. So you sit here stressing because you don't have the money to pay for a funeral. And that's how a lot of people end up with cremation. Because they just don't have the funds to do it. And I mean, unfortunately for businesses like ours, I mean, we cannot afford to do these for free. And so, you know, it becomes increasingly problematic at that point. But there's pretty much nothing we can do. What we hope is that, I mean, historically for us and our community, we are just not prepared. Most of us, some of us are, some of us, most of us aren't. And then we get into a situation like this, and then we end up looking like the bad guy because we can't do it for free, and you don't have the money, and you didn't prepare. So we got all kind of dynamics playing in here. But they ended up cremations are most is the route that people usually go when they're in that situation.
And how did the government support this?
No, they don't. They don't. There's no government support. I mean, there's the basics. You know, if you're a veteran, you get the grave free and that sort of thing here in Pennsylvania. But, you know, for the most part, nah. I mean, they still have these state victim compensation crime programs for families who loved ones or victims of a crime. But basically, you got to be ready for this. You know, people thinking the government's going to. The VA is going to pay for full funerals and that sort of thing. No, they ain't doing it. That's not happening. You know, and they waiting on Social Security to pay, and that's not happening either. So it's just, you know, my message is be prepared because this is good. I mean, you know, I hear people talking about this happened unexpected. Well, the reality of it is there's nothing about death that's unexpected. It may be sudden, but it's not unexpected. And so we hear that all the time. But, you know, again, then it puts us in an awkward position because people think that we can do it for free. So we can't. So this is going to test us.
Okay. So in closing, yeah. Which I appreciate the interview, tell me the mission of your funeral home during this coronavirus and how the community can be prepared.
Well, I think our mission is, one is that, you know.
Well, can you start with the name of your funeral home?
Yeah, we're Terry Funeral Home. We're at 4203 Haverford Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Our business is 81 years old. And so we've been around a long time. And so my message is that we have to think safety first. And we will do, we are doing everything that we can to accommodate families in terms of the selection of service they like to have. But we also have to, families also have to understand that we have to work within governmental guidelines. And so that's the message. We will do as best we can. So like this morning, I was like, you know, this gentleman, tell me ultimately what you want to have. He said, I want to have a funeral and a cremation. I said, okay, I'll let you view for an hour, five people at a time. Five people at the funeral, it will be private and we'll cremate. So that's what we're doing. And hoping this thing passes through quickly, because it is really hard on families. I mean, to just think that, you know, we want to have a service for my mom and we cannot because of this virus. I think that idea alone is having stress on families. That they can't do what they want to do because of this virus. So it's impacting. And this can have emotional impact beyond what we even think about or can think about right now. I mean, these are things that we don't even thinking about. How this is going to impact families emotionally. Because they were not able to have the homeborn that they wanted. So we ain't even seen that yet. So it's okay. A lot, man. And like I said, it's new for everybody. So we just.
Well, we appreciate having the conversation with you. If you would actually shoot a couple of pictures when you get back to the funeral home of both your the exterior and maybe even the interior of your chapel that's there.
Yeah.
And I know you guys do such a wonderful job. Just shoot us some images from interior.
Okay. All right.
What it is, a blank embalming area, but definitely the chapel and the exterior of the funeral home. We appreciate you serving the community, Greg. Thank you so much.
All right, Monica. All right, brother. Bye.